Mental Overkill. This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California, with the thought for today. Mental Overkill. That's a very interesting concept that a lot of people work with and a lot of people are concerned about. Mental Overkill. You're talking about spiritual things here. You're talking about things that are dealing with the divine, and talking about these things means that we are looking into a level of consciousness that is not necessarily a level that can be intellectualized. And we do want to intellectualize it. When you're dealing with the mind, you're dealing with thought, you're dealing with psychology, all these things you think you want to intellectualize them, you want to make them, but in truth, there is no law. There is law, but there is no condition that exists where we have to know all the details of everything that goes on in life. You look up at the sky and you see the blue sky, and you say, "My, isn't that a nice blue sky?" Now, did you stop and think about how that sky got there, how the blue sky got to be blue in our atmosphere here, and how beyond our atmosphere it is no longer blue, it is just black, how the earth got to be here and how the stars got to be here? Have you ever intellectualized into this? Have you ever given that the overkill? Or are you a poet? Are you the type of person who can realize that there is nothing logical or reasonable about principle, there is nothing logical or reasonable about the divine or why things are here? They're just here. And when we mentally overkill it by trying to understand it, by trying to go too deep into it, we lose all the beauty, we lose all of the magic, we lose all the wonderment about it. This happens to all of us far too often. We want to know why. We want to know why things are the way they are. Even in personal relationships, when a husband and wife have an argument, if the husband or wife ever bring up past arguments, the present argument has no consequence. Whenever you discuss something with another person, you talk in the now. You talk about what you're thinking now and what you're doing now. Or you may have learned knowledge from previous experiences, but how are you applying that knowledge in the now? When we get into mental overkill, we forget about the now. We forget about living in this very exquisite moment now. And we have the tendency to remember the past. If you talk to an elderly person and you tell him or her about the past, they'll dwell upon it ecstatically. They'll think about it beautifully. They'll think about it, "Oh, what joy, what joy, what joy. I remember back then, and I remember our neighbors, and I remember our friends." Yes, that's true. But now, are you building up that same type of experience in the now? Are you looking at the now? Am I looking at the now and seeing what's going on right now at my elbow, right now in front of me, right now in my experiences here and now? With our mental overkill, we have a tendency to wander into yesterday. We have a tendency to wander into the could-be's, should-be's, might-have-been's. And as we wander in those areas, we are very unhappy with ourselves. We're very unhappy with ourselves because we're not living in now. Oh yes, memory lane is a wonderful lane, but really, do we want memory lane, or do we want to live in this moment here? Are we making a memory out of this moment by living in it so completely and so beautifully and so wonderfully that it just takes us in every area of our thinking and makes us feel very content and happy? It's quite a responsibility to live in now. It's quite a responsibility to leave the mental overkill aside and let that be gone. Because the mental overkill is something that we can so readily grasp a hold of. History stands before us really it stands behind us. History stands before us as something we can see from the past and know from the past and experience from the past. And the people that we have known and the circumstances we have known and the works that we have known, all those things are mental overkill. They jump into our attention and they want to take our mind and make us think about yesterday and tomorrow instead of thinking about today. Now, how do you feel today? How do I feel today? Do I feel happy today? I do. Do I feel like I'm doing all the things I want to do? I do. Do I have a whole pile of things that I'd like to do? No. I have a whole pile of things that someday may be done or may not. And if it's not done, it won't stop the world. And if it is done, it could add a little bit of niceness here and there, but hey, I'm not worried about that. If it's my responsibility or my choice, not responsibility, but if it's my choice, I'll get to it. Responsibility is part of that mental overkill, the feeling that we must do things because they are there to be done. Now, if you, and let's take me, if I were a great pianist, and I loved playing piano, and I had the opportunity to play for a very special benefit, and then I had another opportunity, an opportunity to go out and go sailing, and enjoy going out onto the Pacific and sailing around between the islands and so forth. And I thought to myself, I said I would go and play at this concert, but I don't feel like it. I feel like going sailing. Now, you say, well, you have a responsibility. You are a human being, and you have made this choice. Now, you should really carry it out. Well, from the human point of view, perhaps I should. Now, what mental attitude tells me I have to do one thing or another? You say, well, if you don't have some sort of criteria, you're going to be very confusing in the world you live in. No. The thing is, if I don't show up at the concert, they won't expect me again. They won't give me another chance. Or maybe they will give me another chance, and I may not show up at that either. But do I owe my existence to another? Or just because I have a talent at being a great pianist, do I have to play at a concert, and just because the concert is a benefit, and because the maybe the concert is a money-making concert, maybe they sold tickets for it and have to give all the tickets back. Wow, have to pay the hall for not being used that one night. My goodness, what a terrible thing. But you see, that's all mental overkill. If I am living in the now, and I am absolutely happy with myself, and I say to myself, yes, I will play at the concert, then my heart is all established happily, joyously to play at the concert, and I consider my repertoire and what I'm going to play, what pieces are going to delight the particular audience that will be there. And just on the side, how nice it is, a benefit, and whatever these things are. But you see, I am thinking I would like to do that, and I compound that thinking I'd like to do that. Now the thought comes up to go sailing, and I say, yep, I can go sailing right after the concert. It'll still be early in the day, and I can have my friends at the sailboat ready to go sailing with me and have it all ready and just jump on and take off for the wonderful cross-ocean flight there. And you say, well, my goodness, you know, your friends, don't they want to come to the concert too? Why should they? It's my concert. I'm giving the benefit performance. I'm enjoying it. And I'm not considering how many tickets they're going to sell or none, what they're going to do, how they're renting the hall, but if the right piano is going to be there that will complement my particular talent. I don't consider all those things. Because I just put the cause in motion that you want me to play, then prepare the way and I'll be there. And then I don't think that I want to go sailing during the time of the concert, because I like giving the concert. I only do things that I like. I only do things that are fun for me to do. And As I only do things that are fun for me to do, then I only enter into things that are fun for me to do. And I don't have that mental overkill of responsibility, of necessity, of responsibility to other people and to circumstances and so forth. Those things just are, by the way, they are not of consequence to me. The only thing that's of consequence to me is to be myself and have fun. And that's the only thing that's of consequence to anyone in the world. I didn't put the blue sky there, but I know how to enjoy it. I didn't put the stars there, but I know how to enjoy it. I didn't put my talent in me, or did I? But I know how to enjoy it. And I know that I enjoy it when I enjoy it. And I create people ask me, you come up and you say, will you play for a concert for me? And I say, when are you having the concert? Well, we're having it this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Sure, glad to be there. And so 4 o'clock, I'm there with my repertoire, and I play at the concert and have a wonderful time. Another time they come up and say, will you play at a concert? I say, when? Saturday afternoon. Oh, Saturday afternoon. No, I'm going to have my grandchildren visiting me, and that's very treasure to me, and so I won't be able to be there. Or, no, I won't be able to be there, period. No reason, because any reason to them would seem inferior to their request for the concert. So if they say, would you come to play at our concert? You know, would you come and play the concert for us? And I say, when is it? Saturday afternoon? No, nope. Sorry. Not even sorry. Nope. Perhaps another time, or not even that, but no. And they will take that because they know that I am rather strange as a person and eccentric in many ways, and when I say no, I just mean no, and I don't give any answers for it, any reason for it. Well, I could have had any number of 100 million zillion reasons why not, and none of them is adequate to the person giving presenting the concert and wanting me to give the concert. So you see, when we live our life and we get rid of that very, very tough mental overkill that likes to hold us in bondage, then we begin to have fun. Then we begin to enjoy ourselves. We never give excuses for doing anything, and we never give promises when we feel we don't want to give them. We don't even say another time. Someone says, will you do it? And you say, no. And they think, my, how caustic that person is just saying no. But that's the best kind of answer. That way, it avoids all mental overkill. It avoids all possibilities of being misunderstood in 100 different ways. And no just is misunderstood in its own way. But it's not misunderstood because it means no. And that's it. So, when we learn to be masters of ourselves, being ourselves and having fun, then mental overkill will no longer be in our vocabulary or in our experience. And we'll be having just one of the most wonderful times in the world because I am one of the most wonderful people in the world. Well, now you all have yourself a wonderful day and know that I surround you with my pure white light of love, and I see everything in your world coming up roses, and I see all the people in your world calling upon you to share your talent, and you have the ability to say, yes, be glad to be there. No? End of sentence. Okay? Now know that I love you. I love you. I love you.